I'd like to share a verse of scripture, or some scripture with you out of 2 Timothy 2, verse 14 and following. Remind them of this and charge them before the Lord to avoid disputing about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman that who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Avoid such godless chatter that will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will eat its way like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth by holding that the resurrection is already past, and they're upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Well, I moved to Emporia about 5.5 years ago, and very shortly after I moved to Emporia, the way Bible researchers bought the C of E campus at Emporia and began to set up a college there. And I use the word college in a very loose sense, because it's not a college in the sense that we're aware of a college. But they set it up right after we moved to town. Because of that, we've had considerable contact with Way students and with some of their leadership. I'd like to share with you some of the personal things that I have realized in conversation with the Way students. And sometimes I refer to them as Weirwillites, after Victor Paul Weirwill, their leader, because I am remiss to use the word Way, because it's a New Testament word talking about Christians. And because they're known as the Way, in order to refer to other people, sometimes we have to use the word Way, but I use the word Weirwillites, which may be hard to say until you see it spelled out and say it a few times, but because they very definitely are followers of Victor Paul Weirwill. Now, I don't have a lot of historic data about him. I've read some, but I haven't got it put together well enough to give you a lot of information on it, but I am aware that he has said that God has spoken to him personally and told him a very familiar statement that many people who hear from God who start movements say, that if you will teach the word truthfully and rightfully, I will give you the only true interpretation of the Bible in my pure word like no one else has ever gotten it. And he began from that to lay out some very strange teachings. If you'll read his books, and I have some of his books here tonight, six of them, and I see three of them were bought at garage sale for 10 cents a piece. That used to belong to someone that belonged to the Way, and they've had to have several courses in order to buy so many, and I don't know all the background on it, but I borrowed some of these from a friend of mine. I had them at one time and gave them to different people who were reading and studying and haven't gotten them back. But this book, Powerful Abundant Living, is their basic course, and they call it the PFAL. And when we moved in Emporia, it cost $65 to take this course. It was one night a week for 13 weeks, I think, and now it's up over $100 to take it. And if you don't get all you need to get out of it the first time, it's like listening to a good tape. You're encouraged to spend another $100 and take it again. And I've met people that have taken it six times. And you can't ask questions during the first 12 sessions. You just go sit there and take notes and keep your mouth shut. And because they assume that they will answer all the questions that you need answered in the course as we go along. And so you just sit and listen, and you'll get what you need. So couple of years ago, on Reformation Sunday, Reformation Sunday didn't really mean much to me until this happened. In fact, I didn't know they calendared one. But it's the Sunday closest to Halloween. And when, I guess, in honor of Martin Luther nailing 95 theses on the door of the university, they have Reformation Sunday. Well, on Reformation Sunday, in honor of Reformation Sunday, and in attempt to unite all Christians in Emporia under one single unit, the Way College made it a point to send two of their representatives to each pastor in town and give them a free book in good faith that they wanted to be unified together. The title of the book that was delivered to me is this book here. It's called Jesus Christ is Not God. They wanted to attempt to unify Christianity with this book. And so the two that came in my house came in, and we had a lengthy discussion for probably about 2 hours about this particular subject, and nobody got anywhere, which is normally where you get when you try to do conversation. So, and I give that to you more than the fact that it happened, but as an illustration of the lack of insight of approach that often comes, that I've often met when I talk to someone from the Way. Well, I kind of developed a little format that I wanted to follow, and I'd like to follow that so I can get some definite things down here. Several times, the Wirralites have come by my house. One day, a young lady came up, and the front door was standing open. Kids were playing out in the yard, and college students were coming in and out, which is not unusual around our house. And so this girl walked in, and I didn't know who brought her in or who let her in, anything. I just, hello, you know, and started talking to her, and I found out she, by the badge she had on, that she was with the Way. And so I decided that I would try to share my personal life with her and my testimony and my heart for God, and to try to impress upon her that I love God. And so I did. And I had been, in some of my prayer time a day or two earlier, had written out some things that were very personal, and I shared them with her, and she was very impressed. It really blew her away. And so she was excited about it. And I thought, well, you know, this is kind of neat. You know, maybe reaching through to this person. And so she left, and about 2 hours later, one of the representatives of the Way College knocked on my front door, or rang my doorbell, and so I went to the door, and he said that there had been scheduled for me an appointment with Victor Paul Weirwill in his office later that evening. And I said, oh, that's interesting. You know, to me, that was very interesting that I had an appointment with someone that I didn't make myself, and that's unusual. But I said, does he want to talk to me? And he said, yeah, he wants to talk to me. So I kind of put two and two together, and I assumed that she went back to campus and said, here's a guy right here who's just ripe, you know. he wants to know God, you know, and he wants to walk with God and all that. And I put some really good stuff out. And so he came back assuming that I was just ready to come out there and would be honored to meet Victor Paul Weirwill. Well, I said, if he wants to see me, why don't he come to my house? Because if I want to see him, I'll go to his house. You know, why does he want to get me, so to speak, on his territory? See, you know, it's common courtesy if you want to see someone that you don't send someone over to his house and say, come over to my house, I have an appointment with you. You know, I just kind of was taken aback for just a minute. So I said, before he could answer that, because I knew there wasn't any logical answer that he could give for that, or that he would want to give, because I knew what the answer was, obvious. And I'll get into the arrogance of the Wirralites in a little bit. But I said, before we have anything to talk about, there is something that we need to understand. There's some things that he needs to know about me that I already know about him. And we need to get together on that, or otherwise we have nothing to talk about. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And he was blown away for a minute, and he was really set back for a minute, and he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is actually God? And I said, yes, I do. I know he is. And it wouldn't matter if I didn't know what he still is. You know, it doesn't depend on what I know. You know, the facts are the facts. And he said, if you believe Jesus Christ is God, you are an idolater. You're an idolater because you're worshiping two gods. And I said, no, you got it wrong. I'm worshiping three. No, so, if you've read his books, you know where they're coming from. You hear the statements already, so you know how to prepare. So I said, and I use this argument when I get involved on this subject, that Jesus himself said in Matthew 4, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then you find in Matthew 8 and several places in the New Testament where when Jesus did something, like when he calmed the waves on the sea, that the disciples worshiped him. They worshiped him. And then you find when Peter and John healed the man in the temple, and the people were looking at them like they were strange, and they said, why do you look at us as if we did this? They gave the glory to Jesus. And then when Paul and Barnabas went to one of the cities that they went to, and they healed this man, and the people of the city brought oxen and garlands, and they were going to worship him. And Paul and Barnabas said, wait a minute, we're men just like you. And the people got down on them and threw them out of the city. But there's a marked difference. Jesus Christ allowed them to worship him, and the disciples would not let anybody worship them. And Jesus himself said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so Jesus Christ, if he was not God, certainly stood in the place of God in the area of worship in the lives of these people. And so the guy went down the sidewalk sideways from my house like this, saying, you're an idolater, you know. And I said, you're a heretic. And so we got even, you know, an eye for an eye, you know, that. but that's one of the incidents that I ran into that I think is characteristic of both the teaching and the approach that has been taken. Now, about 4 years ago, we were at Rock Springs, Kansas, out by Junction City, and we did, our BSU did, the Bible study and some music for a youth choir from Ark City. And while we were there doing that, the Way College also had a retreat, and we had about 30 at our retreat, and they had about 250 at their retreat. And so they pretty well dominated the grounds. You know, when everybody's having a break at the same time, you couldn't find our people because there were so many of their people. And I learned some things there. We observed some things that I think are important. One thing is that they had a book table set up. And I learned some things from the book table. And I always like to, you know, you don't necessarily want to look at a guy's library, but you want to look at what he's reading. You know, some people just buy books to impress you, but you look at what a person's reading. And so you look at what's available. So I looked at what was available, and I saw three sections of books on the book table. The book table is divided up in, say, one section 25%, one section 50%, and another section 25%. And the 50% group was in the middle. Well, the 25%, the first group, was these little physical hygiene books that you can buy in a drugstore or find them in doctor's office, these little paperback, little thin books, how to take care of your body, how to have good health, and just these general physical hygiene books. And then the 50% consisted of these books that I have here and several other books that Wirwill has written and some others who are second in command under him. And then the interesting section was the third section, the last 25%, and that was books written by Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale, and Charles Tremendous Jones, and people who are big in the sales world on having a good upfront approach, how to win friends and influence people, and how to think strong, you know, and how to be a strong salesman. Well, it occurred to me that this is the answer to some of the plasticness that I had seen before, that they were learning their public relations from Carnegieism. See? And I take that to be the fruits of the Spirit operated in the strength of the flesh. That's what Carnegieism is. If you want to see that at work, look at a politician run for office, or a car salesman when he thinks you're going to buy a car, or you know, somebody that you know is in position to try to want your favor. While things are in their favor, they will be kind and gentle. They will show you joy. You name the fruits of the Spirit. See, and they are operating the fruits of the Spirit in your presence to impress you. God said that was written on the minds of the pagans in Romans 2. The nature of God is written on the minds. And so we know that if we want to influence people, we have to, you know, show favorable activities toward them. And so this is what was going on, and as it develops, we'll see that fall apart. I want to go ahead and carry that on a little bit later, but those books were very important to me in my understanding of what's going on, because as the people approach me, they have a very plastic approach, a very salesman type approach. I don't know how many of you have had contact with them, but that's been true in my relationship with them. It's also been normal on our campus, and I'm not going to say this is true everywhere in the United States or everywhere the way it is, but on our campus, it has been, it's happened often, that recruitment has been attempted by attraction of the opposite sex. And I could give you several incidents where Christians have been approached with, like, a guy being approached by a girl to witness to him and to put pressure on him to come out to the Sunday night meeting they have, or come out for a meal or something like that. And I don't want to leave the wrong impression with you, but a young man who was directing Campus Crusade at the time, about 3 years ago, his name is Gary Bailey, is a good friend of mine, and he was sitting in the Hornet's Nest. That's our union where we have coffee and stuff, and he was sitting there alone, which is a good way to get recruited by, or attempted recruited, by the way, if they're in the building. And a girl came up and sat in the booth with him, but sat on the side with him and scooted up very close to him, and began to talk to him. And it upset him, made him very nervous. And he asked her to get up and leave. And he talked to his men about it, and he told me about it, because that's not to have that happen is not good in recruiting Christianity. And it's a very unhealthy situation. And that's an illustration of what happens often around there. And I hesitate to use that because I don't want you to think that I think that there's a lot of profligacy going on the way campus. And I would not say that at all. In fact, I have no basis for that, and I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that there is a lot of attempt at recruiting by the opposite sex. Now, I have had a situation happen, or more than one situation like this, and this deals with the area of arrogance of the Way College and the Wirralites. But I've had them crash Bible studies, and if Bible study is announced, they'll come into the Bible study, sit in the back of the room, ask questions, and try to find out someone that they think in there will be interested, and then when it's over with, they'll sort out that person and take them aside and begin and get their room number and go start doing work with them. And I've had that happen in Bible studies, and I've had that happen in my Sunday school class, in our church, in right after they first came to town. And one situation that happened to me within the last year, a young man that lived with us, his name's Arthur. I think you've probably met Arthur. Some of you met Arthur. He was at a retreat at Chihuahua the last couple of times and ran in the race there and did quite well, better than I did, for sure. But Arthur and I, Arthur lived with us for about 2 years, and so we would walk down to the Vista, Coke place, and get a Coke once in a while and sit and talk, and we'd take our New Testaments down and open them up and talk. And so this particular day, some Way people got beside us in another booth, or next to us in a booth. And they saw we were doing a Bible study, and so they interrupted what we were doing and began to talk to us, and they found out right away that I was savvy to what was going on, and Arthur had not dealt with them. And they picked that up, too. And so the girl got out of her seat, went around and got between us on the table and laid down on the table and cut me out and started talking to him so that I could... the only way I could talk to him was to get her by the neck and set her back over on the floor to get to him. But if he'd been a person I was just beginning to talk to, you know, and if we hadn't known each other real well and I wasn't worried about him, about the situation, it would have been a very difficult situation, because what she was doing and what they were doing was very appealing to him. They asked him out to supper, you know, asking, you know, that they enjoyed doing Bible studies and that they would like to do Bible studies with him. And it was a very rude and very arrogant approach. But that's happened to me several times in the last 5 years. Sometimes not quite so rude, but sometimes just that rude. And I'll tell you that because the Way is a very arrogant group of people. And that's a judgment on my part. I realize that, and I'll stand on that judgment, because that, in the years that I've had experience with them, that's been the case. I also was sitting in an Assembly of God church in Emporia, about 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, and it was announced that a man named Alan Denton, who was Dr. Alan Denton, who was pastor of the Presbyterian Church there in Emporia, who the church group sold the Way campus, sold to the Way campus, and he was very grieved about what was going on there because their church sold the campus to them. He has done quite a bit of research, and so the Assembly of God Church asked him to come out to do some information for their people, because some of their people had, you know, their people were knocking on the doors all the time and talking to them, and they couldn't make a lot of sense out of what they were saying. And so he did that, and I went over to hear him, and several other people were there, and he laid out some facts, and the Way had a representative there that night. And when he got through, Dr. Dent asked if anybody had any questions, and this guy stood up, and he had a legal-sized pad, and had a lot of questions. And Dr. Denton asked him to identify himself, and he said his name was Christopher Henry Ricks, and he identified himself as the personnel or the public relations head of the Way College, the Emporia, public relations director. And everything I'm telling you right now is on tape in Logos Bookstore in Emporia, Kansas, if you want to get it and listen to it. The whole thing's on tape. So Dr. Denton said to him, if you have anything to say to me, you come to me after this is over with. These people don't need to go through all you want to take me through right now. And he said, but you have slandered us, and you said some things that are very slanderous, and you know, we can sue you for libel. And so he said, well, take it to my lawyer then. Okay? So this guy persisted in trying to talk, and he was asked to sit down. And he finally got very frustrated. And he said, I just want these people here to know that you're a damn liar. And, well, this was in Assembly of God Church. And the people were just, you just heard, oh, you know, go around the room, because they were really offended, and rightfully so. And as it went on, the people stood up and asked him, you know, say, why did you come here, and why did you use that kind of language in our church? We don't appreciate that. And they were very Christian about it, and it's on tape. You can listen to it. They were really amazingly composed about it. And so after they got through, he said, well, I apologize for using the word damn, because only God can damn, and I can't. You know, as if I could, I would. But their pastor stood up, Reg Larson stood up, and he said, it would be more appropriate if you'd apologize for your attitude. And it was fitting. Now, I told you that not to simply tell you a story that might interest you or make you emotionally involved in it, but I told you that for a reason. And that is that this man is, or was at that time, the public relations director of the Way Bible Researchers Incorporated in Emporia. And that his attitude has been characteristic of what I've seen myself when they're frustrated. Okay, now I'm not trying to get you to go out and frustrate anybody. But I want you to know that the Spirit of God is not at work in the College of Emporia, in the Way College of Emporia. The Spirit of God is not at work there. It's the fruits of the flesh that are covered up by Carnegieism on the surface. And now that's my opinion. I stand on that as my opinion, but it's also what I've observed in the 5 years that I've been in Emporia. Now, another situation that I can give you two situations. I'll just give you one. I have a friend in Emporia his name is Dennis Minner, and he's blind. When he was born, and I'm not a nurse or doctor, so I don't know how they do all this, but they put silver nitrate in the eyes of babies sometimes. I don't know whether they do it all the time or what. But they put too much silver nitrate in his eyes and blinded him. And from the day he was born, he hasn't seen light. And he's about 26 or 27 years old. He's a good mechanic, works on automatic transmissions, works for Detroit Diesel in Emporia, works on televisions, refrigeration units, stereos, you name it. And he works with 220 electricity. He's a phenomenal person. He's a Christian. He's been in our home several times. Fixed an automatic transmission in our basement. We turned the lights out while he was working on it, just for the fun of it. You get the picture. And Dennis Minner was sitting in Sambo's at Emporia, and obviously blind. eating his supper, and a couple of ways people came up to him and said, "You don't have to be blind." And he said, "Thank you." You know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but he told me the story, and I'll just give you the gist of the story. And they kept talking to him, and after about 30 minutes, he was getting tired of hearing, "If you'll come out to the Way campus and join us, we'll pray for you and you'll be healed. And God does not approve of you being blind, and we'll get you healed if you'll come out to the campus." Well, you know, Jesus never did say, "Come and go with me to my house," or "Come and go with me to Jerusalem," or, you know. He healed people where they were. But, you know, if these people could pray for him and meet his need and didn't do it, they're in trouble. Yeah, that's the way I think. I didn't mean to preach tonight. After about 30 minutes, Dennis said, "I finally said to them, 'You know, it seems to me that it bothers you for me to be blind.'" You know, he said, "I know the Lord, and I enjoy a good life, and I'm not unhappy. And thank you." You know, and so they got up and left. But that's also significant, both in the way they think and some of the things that I think that's significant. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they have nine. They add to the list of gifts tongues and interpretation of tongues, along with the other gifts that I think Gothard uses. But every one of the way people operate at will, all nine gifts. And if you go to their meeting, I have some friends who have gone. I thought about going, but I usually had something better to do. But we have some friends there in Emporia whose son went there for a while, and they went out to see what he was up to. And the worship director would say to call out someone's name and say, "Speak in tongues." And that person would just stand up and speak in tongues. And then he'd call out, "Interpret." And this person would interpret. And he'd call out someone else's name and say, "Prophesy." And they'd prophesy. And they could, and they were showing that anyone that belonged to the way could operate at their will any of the nine and all of the nine spiritual gifts. And they have a class that will teach you how to speak in tongues. And I don't know how they teach you to interpret. But that's true. And I put that in right here to tell you about the arrogance, because that's really arrogant against God. Because God gives his gifts as he chooses, not as I choose to get them, and to operate them when I want to. And that's another evidence to me that what's going on is of the flesh and not of the spirit. Okay, I have an approach that I use. It's a basic approach, and it's very personal to me. You're welcome to use it if you want. You can develop your own if you are around enough of him to do it. But I'd say you probably would have to read some of his books and stuff, which I wouldn't recommend you to do. I just recommend you read the New Testament. And I'll talk about that tomorrow night. But my approach is this. I'm very simple, because I wasted a lot of time talking with them and a lot of words and never got anywhere. So I have three things that I say. One, Jesus Christ is God. I don't say I believe Jesus Christ is God, because he is God, whether I believe it or not. And they say, "You can't prove that." And I say, "Well, I have proved it, and I can prove it, but you won't believe it because you choose to twist the scriptures with your preconceived notions." And it would be hard for me to get into how he goes about doing it, but he tries to teach them to study Greek manuscripts and to study Hebrew manuscripts And it's impossible, the way he goes about doing it, to do anything academic. And that's my second point. But the first point is that God, that Jesus Christ is God. And I will not argue that with them. But see, they will not, if you talk to them, they will not let you know they believe that right off the bat. They want you to pick it up in this PFAL course. They are later on. Because they know that if you have any ties to the church and someone jumps up and starts saying, here, this is something you basically believe and it's wrong, that you'll never come around. And so it's one of the things that you need to know that they believe. Now, they'll say Jesus Christ is Son of God, but he's not God. He's not coexistent with God for eternity. He existed in God's mind, but so did God's Word, the Bible. In fact, so did you. See? And he tends to make you equal with Jesus in eternity. You know, you exist in God's mind too. See, God had the idea of you, he had the idea of Jesus, and he had the idea of his Word, and so on. So Jesus Christ is God's Son, but not God to them. But I just make that statement. Jesus Christ is God, and I worship him. And he was worshipped with God in Revelation. You read the praises around the throne in Revelation, and he was worshipped. All praise and honor and glory and power and might are yours. See, and the heavenly beings bowed before him and worshipped him. Okay, my second point is, and this is personal with me too, because you could not say this from your information unless you've done some reading, but Victor Paul Wirwill is not a scholar. That's my point. There's two reasons probably why I do that. One is, Victor Paul Wirwill is not a scholar. That's my first reason. That's a fact. I like to... I've gone to some educational institutions myself. I went to college and I went to seminary and consequently got involved with some scholars. I don't know whether you have any scholars around here that you have to sit under, or at least you probably are assigned to read some. You know, you don't have to be a scholar to teach in a university, but you probably will be required to read some scholarship work. Now, I also tell them this. I said, I want to be honest with you. I am not a scholar myself. And I consider myself about on the same level of scholarship with Victor Paul Wirwill. See? He has his master's degree from seminary. But he has a doctor's degree. His doctor's degree is a mail order doctor degree from Pikes Peak College. And there's no Pikes Peak College. You go to Colorado Springs and find it. There's not one there. And it's an honorary degree. But it sounds good to say Dr. Wirwill. And unless I am not thinking, I never say Dr. Wirwill. I say Victor Paul or something VP or, you know, something very familiar. I'm not trying to be insolent or arrogant, but it's true. If you have read scholarship and you know logic and you read Wirwill, you will know he's not a scholar. And after we finish this tape and we'll have some time, and I'll read to you a few things to show you what I mean. I'll show you his lack of logic, his lack of consistency. Tommy Stark said that if you're looking for consistency in his writings, don't. It's not there. And it really isn't. It's very sketchy. Okay, that's the second one. Victor Paul Wirwill is not a scholar. And the third one is, I belong to God, and I don't belong to the way. So it's possible for me to know God and not come through your group. See? I said earlier there was two reasons why I say Victor Paul is not a scholar. And the second one is, and I skipped over that and didn't say it, and I want to say it right now, is that those people trust him with their life. They believe everything he says. In fact, to not believe what he says means to get kicked out of school. means to get kicked out of the way corps. And one of the things that they have to do to believe him is to trust him with everything. And I make it a point to try to destroy his credibility to the point that they see him as a man among men instead of one up here all by himself. See? I was at Vista again. I don't spend all my time there, but I have an office there. It's, you know, serves drinks and, you know, coffee and whatever. I quit drinking coffee, so I go in and order hot water now, and they look at me like I'm crazy, like that woman did today. And, no, that wasn't with you, wasn't it? It was with George over at Crossville. I go in the restaurant and order hot water. I quit drinking coffee, and I don't drink hot tea, and they just go like that, and I say, I didn't bring my own tea bag. You know, but I was in at a Vista, and this fella came up, and another guy and I were doing Bible study, and we had our New Testaments open, and we're studying, and this guy came up, and he gave me the canned approach that we always get, and it usually goes something like this. Oh, I see you have a Bible. You know, it just blows me away. You know, I'm sitting down in the hornet's nest and I'll be reading the Bible, sitting there myself. Someone said, oh, I see you're reading the Bible. And I say, oh, I see you're observant, you know. Because, you know, it's kind of like the guy, you know, he sees a pretty girl and he drops his hanky. He says, oh, is that your hanky? You know, he just saw her drop it, you know. And it's very obvious. You know, oh, I like your sweater. That's a very outstanding sweater, you know. It may be just, you know, brown, you know. Or Lauren Cox was in the mall the other day in Emporia, and he had on a ski jacket and his ski tags. You know, we like to leave those on a while. And so you have to wash your ski jacket, and they get all ragged up, and two way girls came up to him and said, sir, you left your price tags on your coat. And Lauren said, I really want to say, shh, I'm trying to get out the door with it, you know. But he didn't say that. But that's the kind of approach we usually get, you know. And so this fellow said to me, as he talked to us, he said, we do Bible studies. And I said, well, that's good. Everybody ought to do Bible studies, you know. And I knew he was trying to get into conversation. And so finally he told us that he was with the Way, and, you know, big sticker up here on his coat, you know, Way Corps number 6 or whatever. And so he said, Victor Paul Weirwill is a man of God. And I said, well, I won't argue that. I'll give you that. I said, what does it take to be a man of God? He said, well, there are a lot of men of God. And I said, I'll give you that one too. You know, I said, you don't know me, do you? No. You don't know anything about me, do you? No. I said, you're not going to be able to refute what I'm getting ready to say to you. I am a man of God. And he said, well, I can't deny that. And I said, I want to tell you something. Victor Paul Weirwill is a man just like I am. And I want to tell you something. I've read his book, and he's wrong on most of the points that he makes. And you've just heard that from a man of God. And the guy said, I've got a Bible study in 5 minutes. It's probably over in the other booth by itself. But he left. But see, they really exalt him. They don't. They say they don't, but they do. I mean, he exalts himself. But you have to help them see him as a man among men, not more than an average man. He is not better than an average writer. And I'd say he's a poor writer where logic is concerned. And if you read his books, you don't have to take my word for it. But that is my opinion. Okay? So I use that approach, and then the third one, of course, is I am one of God's people, and I didn't come through your system, and I'm not going through your system, and I know God. And don't tell me I don't know God, and don't walk away saying he don't know God, because you don't know. Because God's bigger than the Way International. See? And I don't try to discredit to the point that I say you're wrong, 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 but I try to help these people see that there's something else possibly for them too. And I think that's very important, because most of them are in the Way College because Christians like you and me didn't take the time to show them fellowship. And you take someone that's lonely and they want fellowship and they want attention, and have someone of the opposite sex come up to them and talk to them about God and be very friendly to them, and invite them out to their campus and get them involved in a Bible study, and it's very hard, if not impossible, for them to resist going. It's very hard. And a lot of the people that I've met are very, they're very average people who have been hurt either by church or family relationships, and they were hurting when they were picked up, and they were vulnerable, really vulnerable. And one of the things that I have a friend there in Emporia also who was in the Moonies for 2 years, and she was deprogrammed. And I asked her when she would witness to people, or when she would share with people, what was the most devastating to her when people would witness to her. And she said, for someone, we were told that the world is full of hate. We're the only ones who love. We're the real group. Nobody really knows what love is but us. And that's very similar to what the Way College is doing. Victor Paul Wirwell comes in out there, and he is negative on. He hates Billy Graham. He hates Bill Bright. He gets really down on their case when he talks. You can read his publications, and he calls their name and is really, tries to belittle them. And when he does, the crowd cheers, and it's just, really a bad scene. For me, it's a bad scene. For them, they enjoy it. But I think it's important for you to see that, because these people have been hurt. They're wounded, and they need help. And if someone starts witnessing to you or sharing with you, if you can say before they do, God bless you. I'm praying for you. I really care about you. You see, when you finish witnessing to somebody, I don't care if they go to the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or the Way College or where they go. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of their life, and they see Jesus Christ reigning in your life, and you share with them, when they go home, if you've been in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit follows them home. And when they get by themselves and get quiet, the Holy Spirit starts tugging, hey, that person was genuine. They care about you. And the Holy Spirit can work and convict of what's really right. And to get in an argument, it's easy. And some of the things I've said tonight, I'm really reluctant to say some things I said, because it's hard not to sound biased, and it's hard not to sound like we're making fun of them. It's hard. It's just difficult, because from our point of view, what they're into is very absurd, and it is absurd. It's absurd to me for someone to pick up the New Testament and study it and say Jesus Christ is not God. See? And there are some absurdities involved in it, but it's just a very difficult thing to talk about. And so I encourage you to be full of the Spirit, be prepared for your day, and to share out of love and genuineness. But I also want to encourage you not to try to be missionary. Don't go out of your way to be missionary to someone in the Way College, unless unless you're sure you're winning them their confidence. Now, like if you're working with someone, see, but like if you're working in a carryout, like at a grocery store, or if you're working in a restaurant and or a factory here somewhere and you're working beside one, you might be able to do it. And I really don't know how, in their home Bible studies and how they work out in this area. The contact we have is a campus contact, and they are isolated from us. We can't get to them to do it unless we go on their territory. They operate in groups of twos, and if you isolate one of them, usually one of them is much stronger than the other one, they pair them up. If you isolate the weaker one and start talking to them, the other one will come over and take them and leave. It's happened several times. They work together in pairs. They go by our house. We live on 12th Street. Both campuses are on 12th Street. And they go by our house about twice a semester, two by two, about a half a block apart, just as regimented as you can imagine, almost stepping in time. You know, they're getting ready to blitz the town. I'll tell you this one more, one story, and then the tape's probably running out. But I was down in the Hornet's Nest last semester, and this young man came up to me, and I see you're reading the Word a bit, you know. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, that's a good book. And I said, that's why I'm reading it. And he looked at it and said, I see you read it several times. And I said, yeah. He said, I like to read the Word too. And I said, sit down. His other buddy was over at another table. And he had a heart about him that I didn't see as the kind of heart that I was used to seeing with the way people. And so we talked for about 30 minutes. And I shared my heart with him, and he shared, and I feel like he's genuinely searching for God and genuinely had a heart to know God. And so I shared some priorities with him, and I shared the importance of the priesthood of the believer, getting with God. And after a while, he realized that I knew some about the way, and he said, you've heard of us before. You have to understand, these guys come in about every 5 months and leave. See, they don't stay, just a very few of them stay all year. They come in for about 5 months training, or 3 months training, and then they go off somewhere else for 9 months, and they're, it's kind of like a boot camp, you know, for to train new recruits. And so he hadn't been in town very long. And so I said, yes, I've heard of the way, and heard of Victor Paul Weirwill, and I've read his books, and you know, I know quite a bit, and I've talked to quite a few of you. And he said, would you give me a candid opinion of what you see? And I said, God, give me grace. Because this guy was, you know, was open, more open than usual, that I could detect. And I said, okay, I will. I said, you know, this camp has been here about 5 years, and about three or four times a year, you guys come off your campus too wide, you know, however long the line is, and you blitz town. And some of you come into the campus here, some of you go to the dorms, some of you go down into the business districts and harass the people downtown, their customers, and so on, and try to pin store clerks and whoever down where they can't get away behind the counter, start witnessing to them. And I said, we see that about three or four times a year. You'll probably only do it once while you're here. And so when you walk in this door a little bit ago, you were looking in on a world you thought just was hatched, just waiting for you to come in. That didn't have any idea what you were thinking, didn't have any idea what the way was all about. And it was just like you just woke up, and here's a whole brand new world, and I'm going to reach it. See, because you've been drilled in, get out there and get this community. We're going to win this community. And you guys come in here and approach us like we don't know you guys, like we've never seen you before. I said, in the 5 years I've been here, I'm sure I've talked to at least 100 of you. And, you know, you need to know that when you come in the door, several people look up and see you, see your badges, and they get up and leave. Because they don't have time. They'll go to the library where you can't bother them, or go to their dorm rooms, or go somewhere else. Or they'll get up and go sit two or three at a table. They won't sit by themselves. And when you go downtown, people see you coming, and some of them get in their cars and go home. They can't even walk down the sidewalk without you guys bothering them. And that's true. I've been watching it. Now, I told him this. And I said, there's another thing I think you need to know. That I've talked to you for about 20 or 30 minutes, and you have not told me one sentence that belongs to you. Every sentence that you have said to me, you've memorized from Wirral's books because I've read them before and I've heard them 100 times from other people. And that's true. Don't tell me that you're not under some kind of mind control because you're not thinking your own thoughts. I said, if you want to get to know God, the only way you'll do it is to leave the way college and get off by yourself and get on your knees before God and get in His Word and ask God's Spirit to come into your life and guide you and fellowship with people that have the same freedom to do the same thing. And I said, I don't want you to think that because I say you're under some kind of mind control that you're weird, because I don't. Because most of the people that sit in our churches are in the same condition. The only thing they know about their religion is what they've heard their preacher say. They don't know anything themselves. See? And so I'm not putting you in a category as a strange person, but you are there. And they say, now you can't argue with that because I've heard all this before and you've told it to me yourself, and I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I am sharing with you what you asked me to share. Be candid with me. And so he kind of said, you know, thank you, very helpful. And I've got a lot of things to think about. And I don't know, there's no way you can do follow-up to know what's going on. You'll never see them again. If they leave, they'll go out of town back up north or east, wherever their home is. And there's no way you can do follow-up work. I get phone calls once in a while, someone wants me to go out on the campus and locate their son or daughter out there, you know, and forget it, you know. It's too late for that. I can't get on the campus. I could tell you some other incidents. Some of them, I don't think it would be any benefit to go much further with it than that. These are experiences that I've had. You can tell by the content of them that they're personal to me. They're my opinion of my discernment of what I've seen happen. And I'll own them, you know. I mean, I'm not going to cop out on them. I'm not going to say that that's the way everyone you meet will be. But I think this is generally characteristic of the approaches and so on that I've had.